about, those that are shut in and can't get out for various reasons. I think most everybody knows Marcella had another fall, and she's pretty immobile right now. So let's pray for her and Don as she recovers from her fall. Also, there's a meal list being organized by Jennifer. It's kind of an everyday thing right now. So I think we have that covered up every other day. Every other day. And we have that covered through Wednesday. So if you'd like to prepare a meal to send over to the Griffins, please get with Jennifer and we'll get that coordinated. And also talk to her. There are some dietary restrictions there as well. So just have that in mind. But you talk to Jennifer about that after services. Also, I believe I've heard that Emmett has some tests coming up this week, so they're staying in, kind of keeping under quarantine for him to get ready for those tests that are upcoming. So I believe that's why they're staying home today. Also, got word that Diane wasn't feeling well, so she was staying home today as well. So that's some of the announcements I have as far as those that aren't able to be with us today. Also wanted to mention one other thing. I've had several people talk to me about bringing back the offering, how we used to do it, as far as actually having the baskets around and having a song and a prayer to go with that. So I've spoken with Kevin, and we will start doing that next week. So we'll hand those like we do the trays. So we're not going to be passing them hand to hand, but we'll do that as well. So we'll have a song, we'll have a prayer. I like it. I think it's part of the worship service. I feel like we're kind of glossing over that a little bit, so I think it's a good thing that we're going to go back to having that. So be prepared next week. If it's more comfortable for you to put your offering in the box back there, please feel free to do that as well. But just know next Sunday we'll be walking those baskets around as well, and having a song and a prayer for the offering after the Lord's Supper. All right, so that's kind of all I have for announcements. Again, thank you all so much for being here today. And before we get started in our worship service, would you please bow with me for a prayer, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the day that you blessed us with. We're thankful for the time to be here this morning to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we're thankful for this place that we can come here and we can gather here in comfort and to be able to do just that, dear Lord. We're mindful of our loved ones that aren't able to be with us this morning, whether it be for physical ailments or for their spiritual health, dear Lord. Please be with those and give them the strength that they need to recover and so that they can be with us again soon, dear Lord. But please be with us and help us to always be mindful of all of our loved ones that are not doing well, and please help us to be able to help them as much as we can, dear Lord. We're especially mindful of Sister Marcella. Please be with her and give her recovery from the fall that she had. And please be with Brother Don as he tends to her needs, dear Lord. Please be with them and give them strength. And also please be with Sister Diane as she's not feeling well today. Please give her her health back, dear Lord, so that she can rejoin us hopefully real soon. Please be with Emmett as he's going to be having tests this week. Please be with him and be with the doctors that are going to be doing these tests and help those tests to come out well, dear Lord. And please be with his family to be able to help him any way that they can, dear Lord. Thank you for all that you do for us. We're blessed that you are our Father, dear Lord, and you look out for us and you help us and you guide us. Always please continue to do that, dear Lord, in all things. As we come to you in worship this morning, help us to focus our minds and our thoughts on the songs that we'll be singing and the lesson that we'll be listening to, dear Lord. Help us give our full attention to all things going on here and help us to praise you in spirit and in truth. For in Christ's name we pray, amen. Amen. All right, so it's hard for me to ignore just the things that are going around. And of course, yesterday was Halloween, so it was kind of neat seeing pictures of little ones dressed up in their costumes. And I really like that, you know, especially, you know, when little ones are dressed up in their, you know, like superhero outfits. I think that's really cool. So they're imitating a superhero, you know, I can fly or I got laser beam eyes or whatever it is. But that's pretty cool. So I think it's neat when you can imitate you know, a hero that you have. And I think a lot of us, at least when we were children, or maybe even as we grow up, we do imitate things, you know, that someone that may have some kind of aspect that we would like to make part of our life. You know, as a kid, you know, you like the ones that have the super strength, and I want to have that. But I think there's a good lesson there to learn that we can be imitators of somebody else as well. And who should we be imitating? We should be imitating God, right? Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of God as beloved children. And we think about imitating, we're endeavoring to follow as a model or an example. So we're looking at having an example in our life. We're trying to example and pattern our lives after God, after Jesus. Even in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, where Paul says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. So those are all things that we need to be making a part of our life. You know, we're trying to incorporate the examples that we read about in the Bible, and especially the example that Jesus laid out for us, and him being the Son of God. Obviously, that all comes down to where we have great examples from our Heavenly Father and Jesus, and we can incorporate those things into our life. So my three songs before Brother Bobby's lesson today are all going to be about how we need to be more like Christ, be imitators of him, and do everything that we can to live a Christ-like life. So our first song this morning is going to be the song, Oh, To Be Like Thee. That was the first song that came to my mind when I was thinking about these songs. So many songs, when we did our song study of this song, we spent a lot of time on all the aspects of this song. We think about all the Christ-like attributes that are listed out in this song. So it really helps us to be imitators of Christ, be imitators of God, and have that as an example in our life. So we're going to be singing the first, second, and third verse of Oh, To Be Like Thee. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, lowly in spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave, meekly enduring cruel reproaches, willing to suffer, others to save. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart.
Amen.
Thank you. So our next song this morning is going to be in our blue supplement book. It's going to be the song Servant's Song. We think about all the things that we just sung about, how we can be like Christ. One thing that we need to make sure we are a servant. We're a servant to him. We are a servant to others. We're looking to help others and do everything that we can to be helpful in our life. So we're going to sing the song, all three verses of Servant's Song.
Make me a servant just like your Son, for he was a servant. Please make me one. Make me a servant. Do what you must do to make me a servant. Make me like you. Make me a servant. Take all my pride, for I would be lowly, humble inside, giving to others with all that I do, in love for my brother. Make me like you. Make me a servant, filled by your might, and may all my labors shine with your light. Show me your footsteps and what I should do, for now and forever. Make me like you.
Amen. Our song before Brother Bobby's lesson today is going to be the song, Christ Lives in Me. The verse that's so well known with this one, I've been crucified with Christ, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. When we think about being like Jesus and being a servant, it's not all about us. It's all about what we can do for Christ and being a servant of his and being that light and example to everyone we're around. So we're going to sing Christ Lives in Me, and then Brother Bobby will have our lesson this morning.
I've been crucified with Christ my Lord. I am dead to sin through his precious blood. I've been raised to life in the Son of God. By faith I walk with him. I live for the one who died. I live in him who was crucified. I live. Christ who lives in me, once a slave to sin, now redeemed in Christ, renewed each day through his sacrifice. By faith, not guilty, but justified, set free to walk with him. I live for the one who died. I live in crucified. I live and yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. Yes, he lives though reason cannot see. Eternal life in his will for me, that my steps are sure where the Spirit leads. By faith I walk with him. I live for the one who died. I live in him who was crucified. I live and yet not I, but Christ who lives in me.
Amen. Turn the service over to Brother Bobby.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's good to be back today. Of course, I was out of pocket, out of town last week. I was down in Alabama and got to where I used to live. I still have a house down there and trying to get it ready to put on the market to sell. So about worked myself down this last week while I was down there. But it's good to be back today and to be with you again to worship today. Of course, I worshiped while I was down there last Sunday morning and Wednesday night. I went to service at a little place called Trinity. That's where my house is, in a little town called Trinity. It's west of Decatur, about 6 miles. And the congregation there at Trinity, I started working with that congregation in about April of 1967. Deborah was 5 months old when we moved there, and I started work with the congregation there. And worked there about 9.5 years, I guess. And so I went back and worshiped with them. And then on a Wednesday night, I went over to Parkway. That's the congregation I was working with before I came here. I spent 17 years with that congregation before we came here and started to work with you here at East Alta. But it's good to be back today. I'm glad to be here. I feel out of place when I'm somewhere else. I feel like this is where I belong. So last Sunday, I felt like I was in the wrong place. But anyway, we worship God together, and I enjoyed it and saw friends that I haven't seen in a while. As a matter of fact, in that congregation, when I was there, the ones that were teenagers in my teenage class at that particular time are now grown, and they have teenagers of their own, some of them grandchildren of their own, and many of them still go there. And when I walk in the door, it's almost like a celebrity that's come in since they've known me so long, and they enjoyed the classes that we had together. But that's enough about that. Let's get into our main lesson today. I'm going to talk about a little word in our English language that means so much. It has huge effect on every one of us. And this little word is if. And we're going to talk about that word today. If you go back to the Webster's Dictionary and look up that word, it says on condition that, in case that, supposing that, showing that if stands in the way or between something else. And then it has an example there. It says, if I come, I shall see him. If I were you, I wouldn't do that. That's some of the examples that it gives. A condition or qualification. And another example of that is, this car is yours if you pay me X number of dollars. So this shows kind of how the word is being used. Well, it affects us not only from a physical standpoint, but it affects us from a spiritual standpoint as well. And, of course, the spiritual standpoint is the one that we want to talk about today. And I entitled this lesson, Saved If. And so we're going to talk about that from that standpoint today. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1, now I would remind you, brothers, that the gospel I preached unto you, which you received, in which also you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast the word I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. Now let's go back and analyze that verse just a little bit. Paul says the gospel is preached unto you. You receive that gospel, you stand in that gospel, by which you're saved, if. Now this if stands in the way, so here's a huge thing that is in our way. We can't be saved unless we obey the gospel of Christ, unless we receive that word, unless we stand in that word, in that faith, in that gospel, and we can be saved. But if we do not stand, then we will not be saved. Our worship will be in vain, as it says there in that passage. So today we want to notice this little word with huge effect from a spiritual standpoint. And we'll start out that I think I have about 5 or 6 different points that I want to make today concerning this. First of all, saved from past sins if we obey the gospel. Here's that little word again. We're saved from our past sins. That's what we want. We want to be saved from our sins that we have committed in the past. Whatever they were, we want those sins wiped away. And we realize how important it was that Jesus came to the world and was willing to sacrifice himself on the cross that we might have everlasting life, that these sins might be washed away or done away with. And so this is what we're talking about today. Saved from past sins if we obey the gospel. Now, it was not always this way. Back under the Old Testament, remember the Jews back then, the Israelites who were God's people, they would offer sacrifice every year and remember the sins and every year, year after year, until which time that Jesus came and made the sacrifice on the cross that those sins might be saved, that might be done away with. Well, today, if we have sins in our life, those sins can be done away with if we do what God tells us to do. And so if we obey the gospel, then our sins can be washed away. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed what we have heard or what he has heard from us? The King James Version would say, have believed our report. And so not everybody has been saved. Those who obeyed the gospel have been, but those who did not obey the gospel are not saved. Isaiah said, not everybody has believed our report. So we have to believe that report. We have to believe the gospel. We have to be obedient to the gospel in order to have those sins remitted. Again from Romans in chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, Paul says, but thanks be to God that you who were once slaves to sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which we were, which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Now let's go back and talk about this verse a little bit. He says that we're obedient from the heart. If we're obedient from the heart, then we can be set free from our sins. If we're not obedient, then we're not set free from those sins. And we do not become slaves to righteousness. We're still slaves to sin. What does it mean to obey the gospel of Christ? And we talk about if we obey, then our sins are forgiven. Well, let's notice a passage or two that will show us what this means. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, he said unto them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but he whoever does not believe will be condemned. Now let's back up and analyze this. He told the apostles, his disciples, to go into all the world. Now this shows that the gospel is for everybody. There's no limit as to who can obey the gospel of Christ. It does not go by race or by color or by age or by strength or anything of this nature, but it is for everybody. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. The King James Version would say every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized will be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So if we believe and are baptized, then we can be saved. If we do not, then we're condemned, and we'll be condemned when the day of judgment comes. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, now if you are familiar with the Bible, you know that this is talking about when the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when the apostles were all gathered together at Jerusalem and the Holy Spirit came upon them. And there was a sermon preached by Peter and the rest of the apostles. And the Jews realized that they had really crucified the Son of God. And they were pricked in their heart and they wondered, what in the world can we do? You know, we have really crucified our Messiah. We have really crucified the Savior. And so they asked Peter and the rest of the apostles what they could do. In verse 38, Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you repent and are baptized, then you can have forgiveness of sins. If you do not repent, then you do not have the forgiveness of sins. And if you do not have the forgiveness of sins, then you do not receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so this little word, if, is a very powerful word and has a lot to do with our life, not only our physical life that we're living now, but eternity, where we'll be in eternity. It has a lot to do with that. Another passage in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, if you've been baptized into Christ, you've put on Christ. If you have not been baptized, then you have not put on Christ. You do not belong to Him. If you do not have Christ, you do not have the Father. If you do not have the Father, then you're not in His family. And if you're not in His family, then you cannot be saved. Back in John chapter 8, Jesus made the statement that, except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. And He went on to say that if you die in your sins, then where I am, there you cannot come. And so we must believe in Jesus Christ. If not, then we cannot be where He is. And if we're not where He is, then the only other place is the place of torment, and we sure don't want to be in that place. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, and all were made to drink into one spirit. Now what is he saying here? If we're baptized into one body, if we're baptized into one body, whether Jew, Greek, or whatever, then we can drink of that spirit. We're in the body of Christ. We have the privileges that he shows there that belongs in that body of the Lord. Now, let's take another point. Saved if we keep in memory the things preached. Now, Paul said this back over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I want to turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and read a few verses there from that passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'll begin with verse 1 and read down a few verses there. This is where Paul is speaking about the gospel and what he preached. Now notice, verse 15, or chapter 15 and verse 1, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and he arose again the third day according to the Scripture, and that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. After that he was seen of over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remains unto present, but some have fallen asleep. Now here, we're saved if we keep in memory. Paul said he preached the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That was the gospel that he was preaching. That's what the men were to preach when they went into the whole world, was the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Tell the story of Jesus and how that he came to the world and suffered for us. Now in this reading that I just read, you notice the order of things. First of all, you've got the gospel. And Paul said that he preached the gospel, which was the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So here's the gospel first, but that gospel must be preached. As long as it's not preached, then it's not having the effect that it ought to have. And that's why it's so important that we do our part in presenting the gospel day by day to people that we come in contact with. So we have the gospel, but that gospel must be preached. And when it's preached then, when people hear that gospel, then the next step is that they must receive that gospel. If they receive it, it's like the seed falling into good ground that brings forth fruit. And so here's the gospel. The gospel must be preached. It must be received. And we're to stand in that gospel. That was the next thing it talked about. And if we do, if the gospel is preached and we receive it and we stand in that gospel, then salvation is ours. If we keep in memory the things that are preached. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 2. Now this same thing, when it says to keep in memory the thing which is preached, is the same as to hold on to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It means the same thing, is to hold on to or to keep in memory these things. We're not to let it get away. We're to hang on to the gospel because it's so important for us. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, he says, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. Also in Ephesians, in chapter 6 in the book of Ephesians, down at verses 13 and 14 of Ephesians chapter 6, he says, take heed. It says, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And so we're to hold on to this. We're to hold fast to those things that belong to God. We're saved if we hold fast. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6, but Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confession to our rejoicing in the hope, or our confidence in the rejoicing in the hope. And so we're to hold fast to that gospel of Christ. It's very important that we do. It's not something that we just hear and let go. You know, it sounds good when we hear it, and then we put it aside and we forget it. No, we go back and read again and read again. I was telling somebody the other day, about 6 months ago, I decided, well, I'm going to read through the Bible again. And so I started back at Genesis and read all the way through. And I like to sit down when I read and read a whole book while I'm at it before I stop. But I read through the entire Bible, then I went back and started in the New Testament. I read through it, finished it this last week again. So we need to study every day and make sure that we're getting to the point where we can present this gospel to people in the way that God intended for it to be. Paul said in Romans 1 and 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. This is the thing that will save the souls of mankind. And you know as well as I do, there's a lot of souls out there in the world that needs to be saved today. A lot of people who've never heard the gospel taught, never heard a gospel sermon. And you and I have the gospel, and it's something that will save the souls of men. And we need to try our best to try to take that gospel to people, learn about it ourselves to where we can explain it to other people and teach it to them, live a life before them as an example, and then teach the gospel to them in the way it ought to be taught. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21, it says, but test everything, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. And so in our life, we're to abstain from every form of evil. If I want to be on God's side, if I want to be the kind of person that will please God, then I must abstain from every form of evil. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, he says, follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Do what? Follow the pattern. What is the pattern? It's the gospel. It's the word of God, the inspired word of God that was breathed by God. It was spoken to us. It was written by the apostles, but they were inspired of God and the Holy Spirit in doing so. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. What's he talking about? Hold fast our commitment unto God. Hold fast our duty as a Christian, to be the Christian that we ought to be. Don't just talk the talk, but walk the walk as well. We're saved if we continue in the faith. Now, this is something that we must continue in. We must do what God says for us to do. And in doing that, we can't just do one time and quit, but we've got to do it continually and do what God would have us to do. Colossians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. He has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now here we're talking about the gospel of Christ and the importance of this. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, we have to be dependable in the faith of God. We cannot let it go. We must hold on to it with all of our might if we want to have salvation at the end. Some do not continue, but err from the faith. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, for the love of money is a root of all kind of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves through with many pains. The King James says with many sorrows. And so here, if the love of money can cause some people to drift away, to err from the faith, they think more of money than they do of God. In John chapter 8 and verse 31, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed on him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple. Now, how are we truly his disciple? If we abide in his word. So we must hold on to that word to realize how important it really is. Another point we want to talk about is we're saved if we walk in the light. Now, Jesus came into the world as the light of the world. And we're to walk in the light and not in darkness. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And what is it? If we walk in the light. Now, whenever there and throughout the Bible when God is spoken of or Jesus Christ is spoken of as being in the light, not in darkness. darkness is spoken of as sin and the place where the devil is and not where God is. But you know, some mistake this when they say that to walk in the light and so forth. Some say that light means love and that this means that you're to love everybody and everything. Well, that's not what it's talking about here. To walk in the light means to walk in the Word of God, to walk in the gospel, as Jesus Christ has said. In Psalms 119 and verse 105, he said, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And so it is the Word of God then that is the light that we're to walk in. He's talking about how that we're to accept the gospel of Christ and do our very best to walk in it like Jesus did. You know, over and over again throughout the Bible, God shows that he wants us to be in the image of his Son. Peter said that Jesus left an example that we're to follow in his steps. And so we must take hold of the gospel, walk in that light as he is in the light, so that we can be the Christian that we ought to be, that we can be one that people can see God in our lives. We're saved if we abide in the doctrine of Christ. In 2 John chapter 1, well, I only have only one chapter, verses 9 through 11. If you go to start using computer, it won't let you go unless you put a 1 there. So I usually put a 1. 2 John 1, verses 9 through 11. "Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God." And what does he say? If we go beyond what God has said, then we do not have God. "Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house nor give him any greeting. For whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works." And so we must be faithful to God, do the things that God would have us do. Now, another thing, too, the doctrine of Christ is the teaching of Christ. That's what we're talking about. Now, some want to make a distinction between the gospel and doctrine, but they're the same. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 16, it talks about us obeying the gospel of Christ. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 17 and 18, it talks about us obeying the doctrine, and it's the same thing. "Thanks be to God that you who were once slaves to sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching or the doctrine to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness." And so we are to obey the gospel, obey, and if you obey the gospel, you're obeying the doctrine of Christ as well. We're saved if we add to our lives the things that is said in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. Notice what he says. Saved if we add to our faith. Verse 5 of 2 Peter chapter 1. "But also of this very reason, giving all diligence to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." So we're to add to our faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And if we do these things, it makes us that we'll neither be barren nor unfruitful. God expects us to bear fruit for him. And if we're unfruitful, then we're not pleasing him. We're not being the person that we ought to be. And the way that we are to be fruitful is to add these things to our faith. Faith alone is not enough. We must add the other things to it to be the kind of person that God wants us to be. We're saved if we endure to the end. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13, "But the one who endures to the end will be saved." Now this shows that I must continue my walk for the Lord all of my life. We've talked about that before, how that we walk the straight and narrow way, and how Satan places so many things in our way, tries to hinder us from walking that straight and narrow way. And so we understand that that is a problem, that it's not an easy way to walk. It's a difficult path that we must follow in order to end up in the place that God has promised to us. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. He said, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, and you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. But then he says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." And so whatever life may throw at us, whatever the devil may put in front of us or try to hinder us with, we must cast that aside and be faithful unto God as long as we live, until death. And so this doesn't just mean till we die, but it means even to the point of giving our lives, I think, to the Lord. And many of the early Christians, early people, gave their life for the Lord because of persecution and so forth. And he says, we're faithful unto death that we'll receive this crown of life. But if we are not faithful unto death, then we will not receive that crown of life. We shall reap if we faint not. That's a statement that's made in the Bible, and we think about that a lot. I was telling Jennifer earlier that by the time I got through getting my house cleaned up and ready to put on the market, that I felt like I'd about gone my limit. That at night I'd come in and my back was just about to collapse. So we may get tired along the way, but we can't quit. We can't faint. We can't sit down and stop, but we must keep on going. You know, the devil will use this little word to pressure us too. I want to think about that for a moment. You remember in Matthew chapter 4 when Jesus was led up in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil? After 40 days and nights, he was hungry and the devil came to him. What was the first thing the devil said? "If you're the Son of God, then command these stones to be made bread." So the devil uses this little word to put pressure on us, to cause us to do things that he wants us to do. He knew that Jesus was the Son of God. There wasn't any question in his mind. But he was trying to put pressure on Jesus. "If you are the Son of God, then command these stones to be made bread. You say you got that power, prove it to me." And that's kind of the way the devil does. Well, there's another time in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 40. After Jesus was hanging on the cross and people were coming by and they were mocking him and so forth there. And in the 40th verse of Matthew 27, it says, "If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." So here's people now that's putting pressure on him again with this little word. "You say you're the Son of God. You say that you came from him. If you are the Son of God, then come down from the cross." Some of them even went so far as to say, "Come down from the cross and we'll believe you." Well, they hadn't believed him already, so they wouldn't have believed him if he came down from the cross. But Satan uses this little word that we're talking about here to put pressure on us to get us to do what he wants us to do. But we cannot allow this to cause us to do things that are not right in the sight of God. There's always pressure there. Life is full of pressure. Life is full of obstacles. And you and I have to sort out what's good and what's bad. Hang on to the good, to cast off the bad. Be the example that we ought to be, that other people can see our lives and want to be a part of what we have, what we are. And the forgiveness of sins, that Jesus came, the precious Son of God, gave his life on the cross, shed his blood for me and for you. He had no sin. I have sins. You have sin. He died for me. He died for you. All the suffering that he went through was that we might have forgiveness of our sins. What a wonderful thing. And today, if your sins are not forgiven, if you're not a child of God, you can be today. You can be baptized for the remission of your sins. And he said if you do, then you can have that salvation. Or if you're a child of God and you haven't lived like you ought to and you know your life is not right in his sight and you need to make corrections, then there's no better time than today to do that. Either way, if you need to obey the gospel, come while we stand and as we sing together.
If the name of the Savior is precious to you, if his care has been constant and tender and true, if the light of his presence has brightened your way, oh, will you Faith in the Savior has brought its reward. If the strength you have found in the strength of your Lord, if the hope of a rest in His palace is sweet, oh, will you not, brother, the story repeat? Oh, will you not tell it today? Has told you to bid them come in. If the sweet invitation they never have heard, oh, will you not tell them the cheer-bringing word? Oh, will you not tell it today? Oh, will you not tell it today? If the light of His presence has brightened
before we prepare our minds to partake of the Lord's Supper, just have one thing to talk about. Brother Shaden came to me this morning, and he is asking for prayers from the congregation for strength and encouragement. He's just having a hard time making maybe the right decisions and being a good example to the people he's around, and I think we all struggle with that for sure. I know I do. There's just times we kind of lose sight of who we're living for and what we're trying to be in our lives. So Shaden has asked for the prayers of the congregation for strength and encouragement so that he can be a better example to the others he's around and just be a better Christian. So again, I can appreciate those thoughts, and I appreciate him coming to me and asking for the prayers. So if you would bow with me as we go to God in prayer for Brother Shaden. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for all that you've done for us. And again, we're thankful that you are our Father and that we can come to you in prayer and to ask for strength that only you can give us, dear Lord. And we're thankful for the family that we have here that you have set up for us, that we can have strength one for another. And at this time, we ask prayers and strength for Brother Shaden, as he has had a hard time here lately being a good example to those that he's around and being the kind of Christian that he wants to be, because he wants to serve you and he wants to do what's right. And we all want to do that, dear Lord, and please help us to help him to have the strength and encouragement to be able to take the steps that he needs to take to be a better Christian. And dear Lord, please be with him and give him the strength that comes from you, dear Lord, to help give him encouragement, to give him the focus that he needs, to be able to go out into the world, to be around the people that he's going to be around, and to be that kind of shining light and example that he can be, so that Christ can be seen in him, and through that, others can maybe come to you, dear Lord, and obey the gospel. Help us all to be good examples. Help us all to want to be imitators of you, and to have that light shining forth to all that we're around. Again, we're thankful for Brother Shaden and his efforts and his desire to want to be forgiven of the sins that he has committed and to be forgiven of not being a good example. And again, please be with all of us and forgive us all for the sins that we all commit, because none of us are perfect, dear Lord. We all stumble and fall short. Help us all to have the strength that we need to do better each and every day of our life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. We take this time in our service this morning to help prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. To help us do that, we're going to be singing the song Lamb of God. We're going to be singing all three verses. Let's sing.
Your only Son, no sin to hide, but you have sent him from your side to walk upon this guilty sod and to become the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Your gift of love they crucified. They laughed and scorned him as he died. The humble king they named a fraud, sacrifice the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. O wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died, but you have brought me to your side to be led by your staff and rod and to be called a Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God.
Good morning.
Morning.
Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 1. I'll be starting in verse 1. And we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him not anything was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not." And then down in verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." God the Son became flesh for us. And lived on the earth as a man throughout the rest of the book of John and the other three gospels. We see detailed accounts of his birth and his life spent teaching and doing works to bring his people back to God. And then in chapter 18 of John, we see his arrest and the mock trials. "And when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where there was a garden in which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, who betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus often resorted there with his disciples." Judas, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, knowing all things should come upon him, went forth and said to them, "Who do you seek?" And they answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he said to him, "I am he." And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as he had said, "I am he," they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he said, "I have told you I am he. If you seek me, let these go their way." And then the rest of the chapter is these farces that the Jews called trials, where they brought people forward to testify against him and basically perjurize themselves. And then in 19, we see his crucifixion. And starting in verse 17, "And he, bearing his cross, went forth to the place called the Skull," which is in Hebrew, Golgotha, "where they crucified him and two others with him on either side, and Jesus in the middle." And we'll jump down to verse 25. "And there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son,' and to the disciple, 'Behold thy mother.' And from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home." He was on the cross taking care of his family, not worried about himself. And then in verse 30, "When Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." And down in verse 38, "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, sought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus and bury him. And there also came Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes and 100-pound weight. And they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes and with spices, as the manner of the Jews to bury. And he was buried in the ground." But the story doesn't end here. If it had, our meeting here today would be meaningless. There's no point to these emblems if this is the end of the story. In verse 20, and starting in verse 1, "The first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early, when it was still dark, to the sepulcher, and seeing the stone taken away from the sepulcher, she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him.' Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet he did not go in. Then came Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulcher and saw the linen clothes lying there, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went also the other disciple in, which came first, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not that the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own home." And the rest of that chapter shows how he appeared to his friends and disciples, and the book ends with the Great Commission. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23, we read, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death until he comes.'" These emblems are a representation of Christ's body and blood that he gave freely for our sins. And we do this in memory of him, honoring his sacrifice for us.
Let's pray. Dear God, as we come together again today to worship you, and please help us to remember the sacrifice you gave to us, how you gave up your physical body so that we might be saved. And as we partake, please help us to remember these things. And in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Pray with me. Father in heaven, we come before you once again. Thank you for your son's sacrifice on the cross that we might live with you one day. We ask at this time that you bless this cup, which represents his blood. Help us to partake of it in a manner well-pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. this concludes the Lord's Supper. If any of you have an offering that you'd like to give, just a reminder, the box is by the door on the way out.
You know, I'd like to thank everybody for being here this morning. I really do appreciate everybody's patience and endurance and just the state of things we're still having to deal with. I really appreciate everybody's willingness to help out and help us to be able to keep things where they need to be so we can keep meeting. So I'm thankful for that, and I know Kevin also expresses his thanks for that as well. But it's so good to see you all here this morning. Thankful for those who are able to join us this morning, either live or be able to look at this later on today or whenever it's their convenience. To close out this morning, we're going to sing the first verse of A Beautiful Life. We think about all the things we've talked about and sung about here today. Let's go out and continue to be good examples to everyone we're around and be of good courage and be of good strength. In each day that we live, each moment that we live, we can serve the Lord and continue to do the things that we need to do to be in heaven one day. So we're going to sing the first verse of A Beautiful Life, and Brother John is going to have our closing prayer.
Let's sing. Each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. My life on earth is but a span, and so I'll do the best I can. Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days, and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun.